hooked up, having a great time on a Thursday. That's another one of those songs. You roll the windows down and you roll with it.
R.I.P.
Yes. Rest in peace, DMX. Such good stuff. Justin also tweeted back and showed this guy's been to a lot of concerts, and I like it. Also, Area 1 concert, $30. Or Moby, Incubus, Outkast, The Roots, Nelly Furtado, close seconds.
Okay, this may make me sound super young, but I always thought Moby was just like a producer. I didn't think he actually performed. No. Okay,
yep.
It's good to know.
There you go.
And I also know that every single bald dude in the world looks exactly like Moby. I look like him back in the day.
Oh, yeah. That, by the way, the picture was phenomenal. Did you look back in the picture I tweeted and go, man, I used to look like that?
I can't believe I did that, man.
You came a long way.
It wasn't a phase, trust me. It wasn't like some Britney Spears thing. I wasn't on hard drugs or anything.
You were put in a bad spot, by the way.
Yeah, it was back then. It was a different situation.
Because you were... you were next door, and they cut your hair up in a bad way.
Yep, that's right. It's what got me into sports radio. I'm joking. Oh, man. So, spring practice yesterday,
also,
man.
By the way, Justin just tweeted. Lastly, Dave Matthews Band and Ben Harper.
Oh, wow.
Soldier Field.
I bet
he. Justin, you never bother us. We love it. Keep tweeting in. He said, I'll stop bothering you guys. No, we're never bothered by you guys.
If there's one thing I love, it's listening to what concerts people have been to.
Never bothered by you guys. We appreciate all the times that you take your time to interact with us.
Yep. It's your show, too.
Your show. So, spring practice yesterday.
That's right.
Got a couple coaches talking. There was a scrimmage.
Was there?
There was a scrimmage going on.
One of the 3.5 that might be getting moved to 2.
Yeah. One of the 3.5. By the way, we also got some other fun stuff on here, because I do, before we get out of here, want to play the Hallmark.
Yes.
That is phenomenal. It tells you a lot about that baseball team, mm-hmm. by the way.
Definitely.
His comment. So, but let's go with Greg Austin, Sean Becton both talked yesterday after the scrimmage took place. And we're going to play Austin's first clip. And then Becton's first clip.
Okay.
Because they both resonate the same message. I want to get your reaction on what they both said about the offense.
Here is Austin's first quote.
Yeah, it was the whole offense. I mean, it was pick a position. You know, guys weren't dialed into the details of what they were doing. And, you know, our defense played with more energy this morning initially. And, they carried it throughout practice. We had some bright moments, but, you know, overall just was not to our standard.
And here's Becton's first quote from yesterday.
Well, today, the offense and defense have been going back and forth all spring. Today, I didn't think the offense came out with the right attitude and mentality that we need to be champions on a daily basis. So we got to learn from that. We picked it up as the practice went along. And in order for us to be great, we got to... As soon as we hit that grass field, we got to make sure we're locked and loaded and focused. For the most part, the defense, you know, pretty much gave it to us today. But the guys will come back. They'll bounce back and learn from it. We kind of needed that a little bit because we've been doing extremely well on offense. So when we have a little bit of a setback, we're going to see and challenge our guys and see if they're going to come out ready to go on Friday.
So it sounds like offense not locked in yesterday.
Sounds like it.
Little mistakes. Defense brought the energy. And gave it to him yesterday.
Yeah, it sounds like coaches were almost surprised that the offense didn't come out.
Sounds like they've been doing well leading up to it and didn't show up yesterday. You know, part of that, he went on in that thing and he put the blame on the coaches to make sure the entire team is ready. Okay, I get that part. We talked to our 10U Sox team about this. Like, yeah, coaches prepare you, they put you through drills. But at what part is it the players? It's on the players to execute, show up, bring the energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's on them.
It is, definitely.
Like, I get it. The coaches, you know, they got to prepare you, get you all jacked up, whatever the case is. But isn't it enough to be a football player or an athlete at Nebraska, playing for the Sox, whatever organization you play for? Isn't it enough to be be able to be blessed to be on that field?
It is.
To show up?
It is, and I would have to think that some players kind of feed off their coach's, vibe,
mm-hmm.
how they're feeling. You know, if coach is kind of feeling a little down, they're going to be maybe feeling a little down. I'm not saying that's what's happening, but I agree, Hooks. It's up to the players. They have to want to do it. And maybe it's easier for Coach Becton to kind of put blame on him. Maybe he doesn't want to put the players down a little bit. I don't know. But
yeah, and also, like you said, and also in his other quote, like, you can't let one bad scrimmage set you back for the spring. You got to bounce back. You know, but at some point you can't want it more than for the kid than you want it.
Yeah, hey, we actually heard something bad about the offense.
Yeah.
For once.
Yeah. And I think part of it's probably some coach speak, too. A little bit on that.
Yeah, I think so, too.
A little bit of coach speak.
I think maybe
that. Well, you had an interesting theory if you'd like to share.
It's just...
I think it's interesting because we hear... This is your opinion. It's an opinionated show.
It's strictly assuming, okay, and...
Because we hear all the best of...
It's clear that the fans have picked up on the whole coach speak thing, how, you know, they're pretty common about saying they do things good. I don't know. I just hear when I heard those two coaches say those things, you know, about the offense, how they're not doing too well right now. It seemed kind of ingenuine. Okay. It seemed a little forced.
Like we're going to hold back saying.
Yeah, like I wouldn't doubt
feeding the Kool-Aid.
I wouldn't doubt if there's people saying, "Hey, listen, you know, the fans are obviously annoyed at us saying all this crap. Let's just go out and, you know, not say that. You know, the offense could have had a great day. Maybe they're just saying this for the hell of it to give us fans, you know, I don't know, something to jaw on." But
let's go
again,
totally opposite.
That's I'm just assuming. It just that's what I see when I hear people talk. That's what it sounds like, but. You know, hey, it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing that the offense is having struggles because it shows that the defense is, you know, doing their thing too. And actually, Becton focused on that. Somebody asked him, so what is the defense doing? Here's what he said.
Well, they play with more intensity than the offense. And it started the first play. They brought the energy. You can tell they had the energy. Offensively, we didn't have the energy. And that's on the offensive coaches. And the head coach to make sure the entire team is ready to go to practice. It shouldn't wait 20 plays in for the offense to get it together. But we're going to bounce back. We're going to bounce back, and we're going to fix it. We've been having a great spring. We're not going to let one mishap at the start of practice interfere with what we're trying to get done this season.
Yeah, look, man, naturally. And I didn't play football, but you know, you watch enough. Naturally, the defense brings energy nonstop.
Yeah.
The swag is always on the defensive side most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But the offense got to match it. Right? When you're looking across there, you got to match it.
Yeah.
Show up to play.
It sounds like that hasn't been the case.
Because it goes back to what they said earlier, right? It's not about ending practice well or like it's the entire process. When you're moving to practice from station to station, you do them all great. You don't pick and choose.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Just back to what they've been talking about.
Check out what Austin said. Check this out.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, sometimes you have to have wake-up calls to let you know, hey, you know, you're not as good as you think you are, you know? And I think today was one of those days.
And he was talking about a specific player, too, and I can't remember who exactly he was talking about. God, I cannot remember. I wish I would have typed it down. But, you know, those are the type of conversations they're having, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, man, at the end of the day, and again, we talked to our kids about this too. At the end of the day, this is where you're going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, this team hasn't shown, like a lot of teams, you're not good enough to roll out of bed and just beat people.
Yeah. Damn right.
Right?
Yeah.
You got to maximize every chance you get to get better,
mm-hmm.
to get to that level.
Yeah.
You're just not good enough. So don't miss opportunities to be able to do that.
Another interesting thing that Austin was asked, he was asked about, you know, looking at the O-line and the depth. You know, mm-hmm. he was asked to compare it to 2018. And obviously, us fans, we could do some comparing ourselves.
Yep.
And let's see if he agrees with us.
Well, I mean, heck, when you're talking about having five guys in 2018, you got nine guys now. You know, we got nine guys that can play. So, you know, there's competition. There's competition. You know, and I know that, I don't know if somebody's going to ask about him, but Nuri Nwili is a solid player, up-and-coming guy that's going to be, he's one of the accountable guys. I think he's going to be one heck of a player. He's going to contribute this fall for us as well.
The depth has always been that thing. You got to develop the two deep.
Exactly.
One, develop it, right? develop your starter, develop your two deep, but create competition.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't let you get comfortable.
Yeah.
Should be to every position, though, not just the line. Every position should have competition.
And then when that happens and it works, you have players making tough decisions on, like, having coaches make tough decisions.
Yes.
Because now Austin talked about, you know, when you have that depth, how do you, you know, put together the puzzle? Here's what he said. Mm-hmm.
The challenge is puzzling it, but then also the challenge is making sure that the guys understand where their value is. You got that many, and they got that many guys that can play for you. You know, I mean, we live in a world now where, you know, guys can transfer with free will, do whatever. I mean, you know, so you got to recruit them while they're here, you know, as you're coaching them. So you always have to make sure that you're being personable and, you know, doing things with them to make them feel valued. And that's the troubling thing. That's the tough thing. Not troubling thing. That's the tough thing about making sure that you can keep the guys intact, and you're developing your room, developing the culture of your room.
Yeah. Like, we've talked about this, such a different world, of especially with the portal, and you're nonstop recruiting your current team. Like you said, you got to get to be personal with them, get to know them a little bit, and that's part of the game anyway, part of your team, part of your guys, because they all say they love their guys, getting to know them, see the pictures they take with their line or whatever, but it's a nonstop, like, you're trying to develop a player, to show them their value, how important they are, how much you love them, to get them to stay.
Yeah.
Because it's super easy to just go, I'm out.
Exactly. You know, that's a great point. Yeah, that you have to get them to agree with their position. You know, you have to get them to want to be that position. Yeah. You know, even if it's a 10 to 12 snap guy.
Yeah.
You know.
There's value.
Exactly.
And you also have to do as a coach or as a business owner or whatever, as a parent. You got to draw out the big picture, the roadmap. Like, not thinking about today or tomorrow, but like, we're at in 1, 3, 5 years.
Exactly.
Draw that picture so they can see the roadmap of where they can get to, how you can help them get there.
Yeah, and it is funny, man. You look back to 2018, that O-line is a totally different. Yeah.
I hope this is the case. Entity. I hope this is the case. There's 9 guys that can play. That means, one, you're developing dudes.
Yep.
To play.
And guys are wanting to stay here.
Yeah, you got to do that.
And then you have depth, you know, for injuries. Because we have dealt with some injuries on that O-line.
Yes, we have.
So, so Becton, we'll hear a little more from him. Hooks, one guy that was very popular and being brought up yesterday was Yant. And I can't pronounce his first name. I know you tried to pronounce it earlier, and you did a pretty good job. But that running back.
Jacquez Yant.
Yeah, say that again.
I think it's Jacquez Yant. Is that right?
Jacquez?
I think it's Jacquez.
So a lot, Austin and a lot of players and coaches were talking about him. Because, you know, he's one of the only running backs right now getting reps, right?
Well, everybody's hurt.
Everybody's hurt.
And he's a walk-on, by the way.
Exactly.
I mean, he continues to be the story of the spring in the running back room.
He's a walk-on, but according to Becton, this guy should have been a scholarship player. Check this out.
Yeah, well, he's basically a walk, not a walk-on in my eyes. He's potentially should have been a scholarship guy coming out. You know, circumstances put him in a situation where he didn't get any scholarships, and we're just glad to have him here. But, you know, the expectations of Yant has always been, he's been a scholarship guy for us, and it's starting to show, you know, his ability to help this football team. We're excited about it on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, man, I told you, when I saw him, obviously a lot of the running backs that you could be in the mix are out, hurt, might not see him till the fall, things like that. But, dude, Yant looked, he's a big kid, too. I want to see, because he got here, Travis Fisher found him at his former high school. Okay. So he was forced to take an academic redshirt and walk on deal at Nebraska. He had some academic stuff go on. But this kid is 6'2", 245.
Jeez. 245.
Wearing zero.
My Lord. He's a walk on.
Yeah. But it could have been a scholarship player. Obviously, there were some issues he had to deal with to get to the point, which landed him here.
And, you know, it's the positive about that is, you know, he's getting a lot of run right now. If he shows just a little bit that he's reliable as not even a starter, but maybe a second string, because, you know, we have all these injuries right now. who knows if they're going to make it to fall. Maybe they don't get through the, maybe their injuries, you know, it doesn't progress like they want it to. So you never know what could happen. It's always nice to kind of have this backup plan that you know is kind of confident, you know.
Yeah, I like Austin's quote, by the way, that I found here. He said he's going to bring some thunder. Hell, as an offensive lineman, we need to get our ass out of the way because he might run us over. He's taking full advantage, by the way, right now. Okay. That's what you want to see. If you have opportunities, you take full advantage. And again, unfortunately, there's guys out hurt that could hopefully at some point contribute. But next man up, man. If you get a chance to be able to, if that door opens, you can walk in it. Walk right through the darn thing.
Should we get a Thomas Fedoni update?
Yeah, we haven't heard a lot about him. We know he's there.
Yep.
We haven't heard a lot about him. But yesterday, Sean Becton talked about him.
Well, today was the best practice he's had since he's been
here. Oh, best practice.
It's been a step-by-step process with him. He's coming to work as soon as he's gotten here, and we've given him a lot of information, and he's done an unbelievable job. My goal for him, I told him I'm going to press him on every single detail that when he's in. Same thing with Carney. But Fedoni has really, really improved since day one. And he's only going to get better from here. The sky's the limit with him. He caught maybe four or five passes a day. Really had a really good scrimmage. He's starting to understand the techniques and how to practice on the college level. And this is his best day by far. So I'm really, really proud of where he's come. We just got to keep pressing him to continue on. He's going to help this football team this year.
I don't think
it's just an adjustment. You know what? I mean, you have to assume these guys that are highly touted, obviously, you just know it's they don't walk on campus to be all Big Ten players day one. He's going through the development of being a college football player, learning the schemes, and it sounds like he had a breakthrough moment yesterday.
Yeah. And you mentioned how these guys, you know, that have a lot of run coming into campus, like Fedoni, okay, top tight end in the country. Sometimes they can have a little, you know, chip on their shoulder. They know who they are.
He seems to be humbled by what's going on, and he's learning.
Well, Becton actually talked about how he had to humble Fedoni yesterday in practice. Here it is.
No, I'm not surprised. You know, he wanted to step out there day one and be the best tight end on the team. And, you know, I had to humble him early on. That's not going to happen. We got to stack practices. We got to stack reps on top of each other in order for him to be great. And he's definitely moving in that direction. I'm really, really proud of what he did today and showed me that he's on the right track.
Yeah. Sometimes it just takes that.
Yep.
You got one thought in your head, come out of high school, I'm going to do this and do that, and you got to learn the process.
And I think he's just kind of saying some things because as a coach, you want them to be the best
in their position, right? I don't think Fedoni walked in all cocky and stuff.
Not at all.
Just he had a perspective. I like the fact that he wants to be the best tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because he wants to do that.
That shows that he's not thinking that he automatically is.
No, he wants to. He wants to work.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday, it sounded like he had one of those moments where he's learning the process, and like I said, four or five catches. Now you just build. You keep building that process.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. That was your spring practice update.
Yeah, we got a couple other ones in there that I think are like one for sure. Hallmark's stuff yesterday from baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Baseball presser.
Jackson.
This was awesome. We've talked a lot about this team and their makeup and their mentality. But I think this yesterday talked about what this team and their mindset is.
I'll say something that we love to say around Nebraska baseball. Don't care. I mean, long road trip, don't care. Tired, don't care. Just show up and play. That's what we want to do every day. That's what we try to do every day.
Husker baseball motto 2021, don't care.
Mm-hmm.
No excuses, don't care. I love that.
Out of fries, don't care.
Right?
Phone battery dead.
Don't care.
Unplanned pregnancy, don't care. Okay. Making a joke. Okay. No, but Hooks, you're right, man.
Don't care.
They got a mentality that
weather,
it shows
snowing,
that it works.
Weather snowing, don't care. Just show and play baseball.
Doesn't matter, man.
Have to travel across
the country to play at Rutgers. Yep.
Don't care. For the love of the game right there. That unit is clicking, man.
Yeah.
I love it. That's such a good quote. And I'm going to play that, by the way, tonight, I think.
Is this
pre-game speech?
Is this a good idea? Is this the weekend we head to Rutgers? Is this?
No. Michigan State.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yep, we'll update you guys that tomorrow. They head to Michigan State. They have a 3-game set there coming up. Good chance to get three. So there was one more tweet that came in before to get it out of here. It was from Brandon, Fave Concert, Weezer, and the Pixies.
Oh,
Milwaukee,
nice.
2005.
Oh, man. Weezer would have been cool, you know, back then. Now they're kind of old.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they still got it.
Coming up tomorrow, it's Friday. We'll be last show of the week. Make it to the weekend. Dr. Dane Todd will be in the house. Also, 1011's Billy Shammert at 9:15.
Really? Having Billy Shams on. All right.
Yeah. Talked a few things with him. Just some good stuff. You know, obviously, if you follow Billy, he's followed the COVID stuff day and night and through it. So I want to talk about that, where we currently are. His story with his son, which is so important. I want to get him on back. Then we're going to talk some Huskers with Billy Shammert at 9:15 tomorrow. And we'll have Jeff Motes kicking us off.
Yeah, Jeff, he's going to talk about a game that he called me last night. He was calling that Southwest East game.
Oh, gosh, let's talk about that call tomorrow.
He called me after it. He goes, I just saw, I think, the best baseball game I've ever seen. And I'm like, well, geez, like, because East apparently came back last night.
Yes, they did.
Extra innings.
There was a controversial call in that game we'll ask him about, too.
We're going to talk about it tomorrow.
All right, you guys have a great Thursday. Thanks for listening to Morning Hookup. We'll catch you tomorrow.